Welcome to the Reality After Show. I'm Johnny Fairplay, and this is a first. We're talking Naked and Afraid. Now, we covered Survivor, we covered Big Brother, we covered The Challenge, we've even covered World's Toughest Race. But today, we're covering Naked and Afraid. We're doing a season look back at Naked and Afraid XL Frozen. My very special guest, Wes Harper. What's up, Wes?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me on. This is like a clash of two worlds, right?
It is.
Survivor and a Naked and Afraid?
It's odd because, you know, I'm a bad guy, and I got to say, when it comes to good guys, you're up there on the good guy chart.
Yeah. I've been cast that way. Yeah, absolutely.
But I typically like other bad guys, but I feel like Naked and Afraid is a different beast. It's just very individual based and where my heart takes me each time. And gosh darn it, if you aren't one of the most lovable characters in the history of Naked, I mean, you got the worst luck of any character ever.
Well, yeah. I've had a rough go a couple times, that's for sure. I've got a nice little fan base that thinks I'm, you know, kind older gentleman.
Yeah.
And I typically am, you know, to a degree.
I have a short list because I've done two Survivors, you know, always looking and chatting with, you know, Australia's version of Survivor, you know, potentially going over there, you know, of course, U.S. Survivor whenever we do a legend season. And you know, I've already also reached out to South Africa's version of Survivor. We just finished coverage yesterday of the latest season. And you may or may not appreciate this. The entire time I'm doing the podcast, I was getting a tattoo, which was on my upper thigh, which... pretty close to naked, and I assure you I was very much afraid.
Yeah, there's no joy there. No joy at all. Yeah.
I've been talking with the girlfriend. So I never watched Naked and Afraid prior to meeting my girlfriend. We've been together for about a year and a half. And, you know, I've done the Hearts Reality thing in Orlando where we raise money for Give Kids the World Village. And as a result, I've known EJ Snyder for years and Stephen Lee Hall Jr. for years. And I shared a room with Stephen Lee Hall Jr. And quick story. It was myself, Matt Bischoff, who was on Survivor, Kira Mullen, who does a lot of the podcast, the Survivor coverage with me, and Stephen Lee Hall Jr. And Matt Bischoff wanted a commissioned painting of his dog by Stephen. So Steven's just like, well, here's a dog I'd done, and hands him his phone. Matt swipes right. He goes, holy moly, how long is that digital thing they use when they're out there?
Nice. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
I'm like,
great.
What do you mean? You never swipe. You never swipe. Someone hands you their phone. Don't swipe.
No. That's the worst thing you could possibly do to anybody, you know, on a survival show. Oh. No. You're going to see
any reality star, trust me.
Correct. Yeah, well, that's fair. That's exactly fair. But
God bless Stephen Lee Hall Jr. Okay.
Yeah. Esquire the Third. Yeah.
So my girlfriend enters my life. And she loves Survivor. It's one of the few. She literally watches two shows, or her entire life she's only watched two shows ever, Survivor. But her favorite is Naked and Afraid. So she was like, "Hey, I think you would like it." I was like, "Well, I know a couple of the guys." She goes, "Who do you know?" I'm like, "EJ. I love EJ. He screams."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was like, "Stephen Leon Jr." She's, "I think he has sex with the girls." And I'm like,
"He's so sexy. He's so sexy.
I was like, she thinks he has sex with the girls. I was like, I think he might too.
I can neither confirm nor deny any of that information.
So, but I have my favorites, and I've seen those, and she has her favorites, and so, you know, as a result of being with her, I have Discovery Plus, and so every night when we go to bed, I attempt to go to bed watching Naked and Afraid. Fast forward to, you know, 2 a.m. and I'm just like, this is the worst show because I don't get to sleep. I'm into
right.
it.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say I'm more into the XLs than the regular episodes because I feel like there's almost a Survivor element to it. You know, I love episodic television.
Right. Group dynamics and that
whole thing.
Yeah.
No, and especially like your second season, we'll get, you know, like, you know, with the banishment stuff, like, you know, like that,
yeah,
that screams Survivor to me. So
yeah, and, well, I can see how that would appeal to your nature.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, you know, that's why I did Naked and Afraid, because I grew up watching Survivor. I mean, that's what whet the appetite, right? You know, and seeing you as the villain, and you know.
And you're like, I won't be like that.
Well, you know, yeah, I got five kids, man, and I'm a little older than you, I suspect, strongly. So
I'm 48. I just look good.
Well, hey, you know, you're preaching to the choir here. You know, I'm 52, and I got a bunch of kids and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm a little more demure than I was when I was younger.
Okay, I feel your pain there. I'm a softie now. So I started with the XLs because Jessica thought that would be more my speed, and she's right. But we've plowed through the XLs, and now I've gone back and started watching, you know, the individual episodes. So I started with your second season, and I loved it. I thought it was a great season, and it ended on not so great terms.
Yes, not so great terms. I am officially known as the guy who couldn't take a crap.
Yeah, well, that's happened in Survivor too. Bruce on Survivor Exile Island, same deal. He could not, and you get removed from the game.
Yeah. There's no joy there, especially when it's on camera. When it's on camera, so there's nothing you can do about it.
So, how soon after you're removed or medically tapped? Did you go to the bathroom? Like, I mean, was it like 10 minutes later? Like, are you kidding me?
No, it was way worse than that. They had to take me to a South African hospital. They put a whole bunch of medicines in me from every angle. And so, you know, 4 hours, 6 hours after I got tapped, I was finally able to use the bathroom and clear out.
Yeah. But and then were you fine?
And then I was fine. I was like, can I go back?
Yeah.
Can I please go back?
Can we just pretend this didn't happen?
Yeah, I mean, your production, right? You can make this happen or not happen as you want.
Yeah.
But no, my challenge was over at that point. It was just done, which was really sad because I was killing it out there.
You were. I mean, because, like, you know, you guys went forever without – like, I love the dynamic of was it Janet?
Gwen?
Gwen, sorry. Janet from Survivor. They have
Survivor.
So you and Gwen, I love it, but, you know, and then you start with Duct Tape Guy, and I was just like, oh.
I know you love that. I know that was right up your alley, right?
If I'm casting, I put Duct Tape Guy with you guys too. Like, I mean, yeah. I feel like that's the whole thing. Who's the guy?
Balint.
Balint, yeah.
Yeah.
I put two gals with him. All day long.
Every time, right? Every time. Yeah. He's going to chew him to shreds.
And I put a Duct Tape Guy with you and Gwen because, I mean, you guys are just legit, you know, just gung-ho, honest working, just, you know, just straight shooters. And then you got Duct Tape Guy who likes naps. But don't worry, he will eventually help you, but he's got to make his duct tape blanket first.
Yeah, that was troublesome for sure. Gwen and I knew from the first minute, you know, we were like, oh, no, this is not going to work out well.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, did you bring a fire starting kit? You got a, you know, maybe even a blow dart gun. No, I got duct tape.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We saw it and we knew right then.
And it's just like, and allegedly this didn't work out your first time. Nope. But I've rethought it, and by rethought, no thought given whatsoever, and we're going to try this again.
Yeah. Why not, right? Yeah. Sure. You failed the first time with it.
Yeah.
Try it. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah, but that's why he was cast, because they're just like, hey, if you come back, will you bring duct tape again? And he's like, oh, yeah.
I'm sure. You know, that was all part of it. But I'll tell you what, we didn't bring duct tape, me or Gwen, but having it once he left was the best freaking thing that we had to supplement everything.
Oh, really? What were all the uses of duct tape that Duct Tape Guy didn't use?
Oh, we made shoes, you know, we had blankets. Gwen made a freaking pillow. I mean, wow. She made a pillow full of elephant dung. And I mean, it was the greatest ever. You know, we used it for rope and cordage and stuff. So, I mean, every inch of it got used, but you would never make it your primary item.
No.
But having it left over, oh, hell yeah. So. Yeah.
That's why I'm liking the XL, in addition to the Survivor element, you know, episodic television, stuff like that. I also like, you know, when they do these clusters of three, you have additional survival items. And I feel for me, like, I don't want to watch you guys starve. You know, I don't want, like, you know, my girlfriend's just like, if you ever go out there and they say it's a rainforest, just say no. Because it's not fun to watch. And, you know, but like, you know, in a potentially thriving environment with additional items, like, even EJ's blowgun that didn't get used. That's better television than, you know, it's just like, all right, well, I brought Flint, and it's just like, well, then I obviously brought a machete.
And there's a pot of water, you know, a pot for water. Yeah. Yeah. It makes for a lot more dynamics. Yeah. Nobody wants to just see you sit around all day.
No, I mean, you know, and you know, even if you get something with a snare trap, like, it's a snare trap.
Yeah. You know? There's not a whole lot of excitement.
Yeah, it's not like you get the footage of the snare trap working. It's just you come back and it's just like, you know, or the rock, it's just like, sorry about that. It's just like you get the, you just get a flat rat. And you're like, okay, well, that's great.
It happens or it either happens or it doesn't happen. Yeah, there's no tension, no buildup, no anything. It is what it is.
So, but they're fun. So I started watching those, and my girlfriend's just like, do you think you could do Naked and Afraid? I was like, well, if asked, I would, like, you know, if they did like a celebrity version, I think 14 days is more than okay to tell the story. So just like you guys do with the fan challenges. Do the same thing, you know, with celebrities. So I could do 14 days. I have zero desire to do the cold, and we'll get to that. and then no rainforest. But my biggest obstacle is my feet. Like, I got a sensitive feet. Like, that's legit. So I'm like, okay, well, let me figure out who I think I could get along with, who I think would provide, and who could make me shoes. So I feel you would be great because, like, you know, if things get tough, you're just like, you know, come on, fair play, I got your back, let's do this. You know, when the stars align, you're gonna provide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you're not like on Survivor, like, I you know, I'm getting wood every day, like, you know, I work. And I see you appreciate work ethic as well. So I'm just like, all right. I was like, so Wes is potentially one of my guys, but maybe he can't make shoes. I don't know.
You know, anybody who goes on the show, who's done it, I mean, I've done it four times now, right? I better damn well know how to make shoes.
Okay, so you know what I mean. But are you making them out of the gate or just like, I'm just going to suffer the first couple of days. I'll get it. I'll get to it when I get to it.
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I walk barefoot for months prior to a challenge. I mean, I toughen my feet up.
Okay,
they're like dog paws. Yeah, and so I really don't need shoes.
Okay.
You know, I really honestly don't. But if somebody else does, I'm happy to help them, you know, make some shoes or come up with some kind of strategy for sure.
Like, if I showed up and they're like, here's your bags, I'm like, cool, and there's a tree, and let's make some shoes.
All over it, man. Okay. All over it. Yeah, 100%.
I've been internalizing who would be my other picks. So tell me if these are good or bad. So my girlfriend's absolute favorite is Jeff.
Okay.
Because this is what she lives for.
Yeah, right? She loves to listen to him scream.
She's all about the screaming. And I'm sitting, I'm just like, Jeff has no use for shoes or anyone taking time to make shoes.
No, that's fair.
Like, so this isn't optimal. So, Matt,
yeah,
he's going to provide. Big time.
You will never have to worry about food.
Yeah, I will literally gain weight on Naked Henry.
Yeah, he's the man now.
Yeah,
he's the man. He can take care of all your wants in the food and drink department for sure. Yeah,
but I don't think he's going to be pro shoes either. And like, I don't know. I think if he's a little nerdy. Like, if you go back and watch his first season, I feel like that's real, Matt. Like he's blossomed into what we see now. He's blossomed into Savage. But, like, he's kind of nerdy. And I think I think he would do better juxtaposed against another big alpha character versus in the last XL he did. He had the guy that was kind of his sidekick.
Yeah.
And that dynamic, I kind of remember just like, I don't like either one of them. Like, because they weren't friendly when Steven and Jeff come over there, and like Riley, who I typically love, like she wasn't as friendly, and I was just like, oh. So I feel, you know, maybe Matt's optimal because I am alpha. not in terms of any skill whatsoever, but in terms of my stupid mouth. So maybe this guy's optimal. So, but I finally settled on, I think Amber's my pick.
Really? Yeah, I mean, she's gotten a bad rap lately.
Not to me. I got her back. Like Amber versus Trish, I go Amber all day.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, I mean, I will tell you that Trish is a friend of mine. Like, she's in the same state as me. We hang out and, you know, drink beers and all that kind of stuff. And so I only get one side of the story.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I hate to cast aspersions anywhere.
Okay. Well, I like her work ethic. I'm a work ethic guy. I see that she can provide, and
absolutely,
she's all about shoes.
She is. She will take care of your feet.
That and when it comes to cuddling, if my options are Wes, Jeff, Matt, or Amber.
Yeah. I think you're selling me a little short here. I'm an excellent cuddler.
Do we flip a coin each night on Big Spoon, Little Spoon? Is that how that works?
And you know how it is. You sleep on the ground. You toss it and turn it all night long. You trade back.
I cuddled Rupert, and he was my archenemy.
Oh, good gosh. Yeah, I cuddled Jermaine on this Frozen one. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to Jermaine. I can't believe you. So if you were to do Naked and Afraid with me, this would be your second celebrity because you played with Jermaine Jackson.
Yes. Yes. Fair.
So you're in Virginia?
North Carolina.
Okay, I'm on the North Carolina Virginia border. So I live in Providence, North Carolina, and across the street is Danville, Virginia.
Oh, smokes! I'm at Lake Gaston, so I'm right down the line from you.
That's not far. I've been to Lake Gaston for like a Young Life thing when I was a kid.
Yeah. They got all kinds of stuff there.
Yeah.
But I moved there a year ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that's where I do all my training and stuff like that, you know, getting out there and building forts and sharpening sticks and lighting fires and stuff.
Oh, wow, there you go.
Right down the road. Hey, man, it's an open invitation.
We'll make it happen. So, and also, I got a Survivor viewing party in Durham, North Carolina at Dirty Bull Brewing. Wednesday at the beginning of October. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I mean, I'm 20 minutes from there right now.
Well, I'm 40.
Hey, that's a date. That's a plan right there.
Yeah, like all right, so it's either you or Amber. We'll figure that out.
Oh, take Amber. Go ahead. I know that's what you're going for. Just go ahead and take Amber. I'll be okay.
So, have you met Max?
I've never met Max.
Okay,
no, he's one of the very few people that I have not had a text with or conversation or met in person.
Wow. Okay. We're very pro Max, and I feel I've seen a couple flaws in his edit. I think his edit is like, this might be the nicest guy of all time, and then you see a couple for me I feel like we caught a couple glimpses of him not being the nicest guy of all time. I'm like, ooh,
a little snarky.
Really glaring. Then it just goes back to the nicest guy of all time. So he probably is, and you know, and you know, anything taken out of context can be taken out of context and looked at differently. Or, you know, everybody has a bad day every now and then.
Oh yeah, every day. Yeah. You know? I mean, that's the thing when you're on 24/7 on camera. Yeah. You're gonna laugh, you're gonna cry, you're gonna be pissed off, you're gonna go through every emotion. And whichever minute that they capture and want to put out there is what you're gonna be stuck with.
Yeah. But as far as storytelling, like, I think you and Max have two of the more favorable stories in the history of Naked and Afraid, because, like, you know, we're about to talk Frozen, but going into before we get there, so I watched out of order. You know, I watched your XL first, and then I went and watched your Ecuador Naked and Afraid. And holy moly, did you get screwed? I mean, like, you're out there playing this game. Do you even fathom what COVID is when you leave or no?
No, yeah. Not at all. I had no clue whatsoever. I had heard coronavirus being in China.
Yeah.
You know, you hear everything
before you left, because it was that quick. I mean, I remember I did a survivor viewing party in Toms River, New Jersey, and we're watching the episode. I have, you know, Nick Wilson and Michelle Fitzgerald there, and it was the Boston Rob boot episode on season 40. I'm like, this is the best night of my life. And then at the bottom of the screen, trailer thing at the bottom is just like, NBA season canceled for the season immediately. And I'm just like, for what?
Yeah.
And then the next thing is just like, Survivor filming postponed indefinitely. And this is all at the bottom of the screen. I'm just like, all right, well, I have a Survivor viewing party in 2 weeks, so I don't care about any of this. No, the world. So you're there 21 days. In that 21 days, the world just stops and you're oblivious to it.
I had no clue whatsoever. No clue whatsoever. You know, and I didn't even believe it. I thought they were full of crap the whole time.
You're like, is this some kind of twist? I don't get it.
Yeah. Let me in on the joke.
Yeah.
Because y'all run out of money.
Did y'all run out of film? Y'all are out of tape, aren't you?
No doubt, right? Oh, somebody needs to go home. Oh, I understand. No, it was terrible. I couldn't believe it. And not really until we got back to the hotel in the Survivor Village did I really see what was happening. They're barricading roads. You know, I mean, they shut down the country of Ecuador, the entire country. Yeah. And I was like, well, shit, I guess this is for real now.
Yeah. I feel that you're about the only thing that captured what happened to someone who was in the middle of filming. It's not like they were in the middle of Big Brother or, you know, like this, we are seeing it as it happens. They're just like, hey, like, cause when did you have 2 days left?
Yeah. I was on day 18. So I had 2.5 days left.
Yeah.
So I was there.
Yeah.
I was chilling at that point.
Oh, you weren't going to break down and cry on day 19 and be like, I gotta go.
No, I had a bushel of oranges sitting next to me. I was kicked back. I was coasting at that point. So threw me in a tizzy, man.
Yeah. Now, as a viewer, you know, you're sitting there. It's just like, you know, this guy's in cruise control going in, and they're just like, hey, so there's this thing called COVID. And you're like, yeah, do I have it? Like, you know, like, and they're like, no, you don't have it. Just like, so what's the, do you have it? Like, what's wrong here? And they're like, well, no, you know, we can't get you out of here in 3 days. And it's just like, yeah, you can. They have planes and you guys have jeeps and stuff. You can get me out of here. They're like, no, we literally cannot get you into the United States in 3 days. And it's true.
Yeah. It was absolutely incredible. We had to stay quarantined in the hotel for a while. And then Discovery sent a private jet for us.
Wow.
That wasn't even allowed to land at the airport until some magic happened.
I
and
that jet
landed. And then we hauled ass and walked to the airport to get on this private jet and got the hell out of there. It was so amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, like, it sucks because, like, it's, but I get there, like, so they're just like, that's a tap. And I'm just like, that's not a tap.
Right. Right. I have to look at it on the TV and see that that's a tap. I'm like, no.
Yeah, like I thought they would, you know, do some kind of like a production stop day 18, and it's, you know, that's what it is. And they're just like, you know, that's a tap. And I'm just like, you guys are assholes. That's not him.
They raised my PSR and call it a tap. those two things do not match. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that was an event for sure. I was not happy.
I got a PSR question for you. So they've said over the season, it's kind of changed how the PSRs are established and created. So it appears as though they're now stating that they contact previous Naked and Afraid contestants, and they are contributing to the PSR ratings. Do you think that's true? And if so, have you helped with a PSR rating of someone else?
I have not helped with the PSR ratings, but okay. I do know that in fact it's true.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. There is one individual, especially, who is very very prominent in establishing your PSR.
Oh, wow. Who is it?
And we have already mentioned him on this program, but ooh. I won't. I can't go any deeper.
Oh, that's
than
good.
That.
That's good. That narrows it down. So
yeah,
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the upper echelon people is at least partially responsible for establishing that and your changes.
Okay, here's what I'm not cool with. Like on XL Frozen, it's not a PSR.
FSR Frozen?
The FSR percentage.
Right, right.
So let's just, for argument's sake, let's say you are 10 feet from the extraction point and your FSR is 72.
Right.
What could happen in that last 10 feet?
I agree. But, you know, people love numbers, right?
They do.
Love numbers and percentages. And so that kind of guides the story a little bit, makes it a little more exciting for everyone.
Yeah, and we argue about it. You're just like, this is BS. Like you know, just because Billy sneezes doesn't mean they're at 32.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We know that's like a little lukewarm.
They call it eat water buffalo, but Billy sneezed. So that's going to drop their PSR from 74 to 39.
Yeah, yeah. That would be interesting to see the algorithm on that one.
Yes.
Jeez.
Well, if you watch the Challenge USA, there is a randomly perfect algorithm that is not so perfect, or maybe not even so random, actually.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's talk Naked and Afraid, XL Frozen.
Frozen.
We just had the season finale this past mm-hmm. Sunday, and I know a lot of people have been like, I love Naked and Afraid, I love Africa, I love the desert, I love all these locations, but what would happen if you put them in the cold? And we got to see it, and it was, I think you guys made the most of it, but I think if anyone took a step back and was just like, how exciting could this be? And I think here's the barometer. I think if you did that, you were correct.
That's fair. I mean, that's really fair. I mean, there's only so many minutes or hours that you can be out in those cold conditions.
Yeah.
And so you spend a lot of time, sitting around the fire, yeah. doing nothing but drooling. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's not good TV.
No.
So they really had to break it up and pull out those clips of when people were actually doing stuff. So I can see how it's not like people's favorite, most action adventure.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I mean, and I love the people that complain. It's just like, oh my God, they gave them pelts. And I'm just like, yeah, do you want to see them do anything?
Right. Right. When it's 20 degrees outside.
Yeah. It's just we can watch them die. Like they can look like The Shining at the end of episode 3.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no desire to go out there. I mean, you freeze them to damn death. And so, you selected, you go out for 20 minutes and do whatever you could do in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you had to get back to that shelter. You had to be around the fire. You're just going to freeze to death. So it was a real pick and choose, situation there.
So several questions here. So number one, when they call you and do they tell you it's a Frozen or are they just, or are they like, are you down for a new adventure?
No, they pretty much give you a few parameters up front. So they,
Wes, what fur are you allergic to?
Right. Yeah.
Have you ever been to Montana before in the winter?
Yeah. I mean, you get the general email, you know, the congratulations, you've been selected email.
Okay.
And then, you know, and then from there, you're still not confirmed you're going. You know, you have to say, yeah, I'll do this freezing cold challenge, or no, hell no, I won't.
Yeah.
And then it goes from there and they weed out people.
So I would imagine what, 50% say no, probably?
I would say that's right. Yeah, I would add, especially on something like frozen.
Yeah.
If, you know, they say you're going to Africa, well, okay, I get to go see giraffes and elephants and stuff. I mean, that's had a certain appeal, but to freeze your ass off, you know, I have a feeling quite a few people said no on that one. That's not anybody's bucket list.
Yeah, I have zero. Is Africa the easiest? I mean, I know you got the Boma, and there's inherent danger, but like, of the available options, you like Africa?
I love Africa. I thought it was great, but I mean, it was a miserable SOB. Really? You know, it was still absolutely, you know, painful, suffering, misery. It was tough, but it's so beautiful that it's hard not to kind of, you know, love it a little while you're suffering and hating it.
Where do I need to go? Florida.
Yeah. Just don't go to Eastern North Carolina. Anywhere but there, you're fine.
Okay. So Myrtle Beach.
Maybe Myrtle Beach. That'd be
ideal.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Nice moderate temperatures there.
Okay.
Yeah. No, go to Africa, man. If you're gonna get on.
Yeah, I think I got 14 days in me, you know, that tops. And I don't need, you know, Matt out there going, hey, they just said you want to go 60, we're good. I don't care. Yeah, let me put you on the spot with the camera. You can bring the camera right here. The answer's no.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I got a podcast to do. I can't do 60 days.
Yeah, I'll be back by Tuesday.
Saying it sounds horrible. So you get the call, you get out. What training do you do for a frozen?
I spend a lot of time in refrigerated trucks.
Okay.
You know, I'm in IT, and I have clients who have frozen foods, and so I would go in their coolers. It was during winter. You know, in North Carolina winter.
Okay.
And we did have some snow. And sometimes
it's legit here and sometimes it isn't.
Yeah. I'd go outside in a pair of boxers and just see how long I could stay outside, you know, trying to mentally get over the fact that I was freezing to death. You know, those types of things. Cold showers, lots of cold showers, and, you know, 35 extra pounds. Eating everything in sight, drinking dark beers, trying to put on fat.
Sarah got that memo. We literally did not recognize Sarah.
I did not either. The last time I saw her was in Africa.
Yeah.
And she was skinny as a rail.
Yeah.
And then
I think they said at the end she started at 195. And I'm just like, how is that even possible?
I don't know, because she's small. I mean, she's not tall. Yeah. She had put on a little bit of mass for that one.
Smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was the right thing to do.
I'm not making fun, I'm not picking and I think anyone that did is just like, yeah, you go out there and what are you going to tone down? I am so ready for Montana.
She did a good job. She put on a lot of weight, but you know, when you're out there, you lose weight a couple pounds a day. I don't care what you're eating, you're losing a pound to 2 pounds every single day. So by the time, you know, she was done, she was back to normal size.
Yeah. She looked, I mean, like you just saw her face and like, you know, one of her final confessionals. I'm just like, hey, that's the girl that played on Africa.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
When she show up. That's not fair. They've been out there for 14 days.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah.
You're doing cameos at the end. What up? I've been working on this basket. Do you guys need a basket? I spent 14 days on this basket. So, all right, let's talk about the basket. So, I know you watched the finale. So, and I think it's so amazing that every single season and every single episode, the day before extraction, you miraculously find food every time. just that day before, just the luck, the negative rate gods just shine down upon you every time. So Sarah has this basket that takes what, 7 days to make?
It was a solid five.
Okay, yeah. Solid five. And it looked to be a pretty well-constructed basket.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It
was. All right. Well, going to the season finale, so Waz made a basket that appeared to have taken 12 minutes. And equally as successful.
Correct. Yes. I noticed that as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That fish basket, that was a thing, right? You know, I mean, it took a long time. And she's like an artist, you know? She does all this bushcraft stuff.
Yeah.
And she's an artist, so she wanted it just to be perfect. And I just wanted that mother in the water.
Yes. You know? I mean, like, so couldn't there have been a balance of, you know what, just give us a one-hour basket that we just have in the water and then spend 6 days on your perfect basket. That's fine.
Yeah, that would have been great. In hindsight, me and Jermaine just should have thrown a basket together ourselves, you know. But
well, I think, I mean, based on the Jermaine Sarah conversation with the traps, she wanted to be involved, and everyone wants to be involved. You know, they want their place, and apparently she had internalized that her place was the basket. So right. That being the case. And God bless, did it show that you're a father. You talked to her, you know, like she needed to be, like Jermaine did not. And I'm not fucking, Jermaine and I's conversation with Sarah would have been pretty close. So, but we got one of those moments that showed why you're so lovable and endearing, because we saw the father in you talk to Sarah in the only way that worked in that moment.
Yeah.
But we heard via confessional, this would be the only time you're having that conversation.
This is the last time we're having this conversation. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. You know, she's just artistic, man. She's a little OCD about that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so it just had to be exactly perfect. And she needed to know that it had to get in the water.
Yeah. It was so painful. I mean, because like we literally went three episodes, you know, just like, how's that basket coming? I'm just like, oh no, you're not still asking that, are you?
Like, yeah,
I would have been more than happy if she like finished it, you know, day two or day three, and it's never mentioned again. It's like, oh, I wonder what happened. There. Don't care. The fact that you are discussing it on you know, three episodes continuously, I'm just like, oh no, no, no. Oh wow, there's someone's gonna die.
Somebody's gonna get a talking to. Yeah, I mean, it was a thing. It was a great fish basket, right? You know, and it worked, and we caught a couple of crawfish. So all in all, sure, that's fine. But you know, when you're out there minute to minute, I mean, your blood just starts to boil.
Yeah,
you know, you're starving to death.
Yeah,
and you're freezing to death, and so your attitude gets a little bit sour when it's not going that way.
Did she leave with the basket?
I am sure she took it home.
She better.
Absolutely sure it went home with her.
I would eBay that and just be like, as seen in seven of the six episodes of Frozen.
Oh, 100%, right? Absolutely. Somebody
got more airtime than the guy that tapped with Trish's group.
I think I'm more airtime than I did. The damn fish basket. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, put it up for auction for sure.
All right, so the whole reason you and I started talking is I made a reel when you guys got your first win, Jermaine comes back, and you appear to have thrown up gang signs and excitement, Wes. And I'm just like, why is Wes throwing up gang signs? This is so amazing.
It's probably my ignorance on gang signs. That's probably what that was about. Yeah. I was just stoked, man.
It was amazing. I mean, that was one of the best moments of the entire season. Like, I mean, it was obvious. I mean, like, we see you. You are a friendly guy, a happy guy, and you know, 9 times out of 10, you get screen time. You're smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so to watch you on Frozen, and you're just like, yeah, this sucks, and it's just like, he's not smiling. It sucks.
Right, right. Yeah, most of the time I smile through the pain because, you know, I mean, I sign up for these things, right?
Right.
I know it's going to be miserable. And so
when it's a prison sentence, they're like, you know, you got jail or this.
Yeah, I have a choice. I don't have to go. And so when I'm, you know, stubbing my toe and getting frostbite and being miserable, I'm getting exactly what I asked for. And so to a degree, I smile about that. I'm like, yeah, this is the test that I signed up for. All right, let's bring it. Yeah.
So getting that win, what was that the best moment other than Extraction?
Yeah, it really was. It really was. That was just incredible to actually eat something. You know, you smell meat. And, you know, it was fantastic. And really to have Jermaine, he spent so much time making those snares and getting everything organized. Time that the common viewer doesn't even see.
Sure.
You know, days perfecting it.
And it appears as though Jermaine picked the correct loop size versus what else it has to guess.
Well, he did have a rabbit in his snare. Yeah, absolutely. They went back and forth on that quite a bit.
Okay, so here's my question. Why doesn't Sarah do her own snare traps with her own loop size?
Because she was making the fish basket, man.
Oh, well, we
had our assigned roles. So, yeah. We had our assigned roles.
We're going to take a quick commercial, and then we got the real questions, and maybe one inspired by our sponsor. Here we go.
Hey.
Support for Reality After Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. That's right, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 12 million balls.
The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the Lawnmower 4.0, this trimmer is the future of grooming, and dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever!
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to help reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and has a 4000K LED spotlight that you need for a more precise shave.
Now, I have a dark shower curtain in my bathroom, and I've been looking for the perfect way to shave in the dark, kinda. Guess what? I found it. 4000K LED. No longer a problem. I got perfectly smooth, clean balls thanks to the Lawnmower 4.0.
It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code SURVIVOR. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Thanks for sticking with us through the ad break. And don't forget, for more exclusive Reality After Show coverage, visit realitypatron.com. That's reality, PATRON.com.
And we are back. Wes, what's the preparation down there for challenge?
Yeah. Well, there's many schools of thought on that. I get rid of it all.
Okay.
I get rid of it all. Yeah, especially like on the warmer challenges, when you're in Africa or Ecuador or Brazil, the bugs are so bad. They just get tangled all up in there.
Okay. See, I feel like there's, you know, as you mentioned, there's a few different schools of thought. You know, maybe you have outer protection there, but I'm thinking, yeah, let's manscape it, promo code SURVIVOR, of course. And so if there is a tick or there is a leech, I can easily see it versus I wonder if something's down there.
Yeah. Hunting around for an hour. Yeah, absolutely. No, I keep really clean and tight on that kind of stuff. Yeah. If something bites me or is hanging off of me, I want to know it right then.
I think I'm with you.
I don't want to wait 2 days
before
figuring that out.
Yeah. I've done two survivors. I did it both ways.
I've only done it one way, man. I don't grow a whole lot of hair anyway, so you know, I keep everything as tight as possible.
Well, you showed up on Frozen with a more rugged look. So you were like, I might as well warm up the face as much as I can.
Yeah.
The top of the head's gonna lose plenty of heat.
Right. Yeah. I aged myself about 10 extra years by growing out a nice little gray beard and all that.
I thought you looked cool, man. I'm just like, what? Who knew Wes was this tough?
I appreciate it. It's a rugged look for me for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But you know, I shave those grays off every chance I get.
Smart. I pull them out. I'm kind of weird.
Anyway. The insults of being 52 years old. Shoo.
So a few more dynamics here on Frozen. This is the last challenge for Jake, allegedly.
You know, I believe him, only I don't believe him.
Yeah.
Jake is a super sweet guy. I like him a lot. You know,
he's incredibly talented. I mean, his confessionals, you could just watch a trailer reel of them, you know, for an hour.
Oh, he's quick, good wit. But you know what? Everyone says, I'll never do this again after the last challenge. I've gone on four challenges and I've said it four times.
Okay.
I'll never do this again. This is my last one. No more, no more, no more. And then a week goes by and all of a sudden you kind of forget about the bad crap. And you just got your check. Well, you know.
That helps.
Now I can retire, right? Because I have so much money. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you remember the good stuff, and it's real easy to forget about the 1,000 bug bites you have and all that. And as time goes by, you just start craving it again. So, Jake, I believe you, buddy, but I don't quite believe you. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, we had EJ say that on his last challenge, and I thought it was I felt it was an excellent use of AJ because. That Excel was disheartening. I mean, like, yeah. You know, cause I'm friends with Steven and, you know, and like, I would be willing to bet money when EJ comes around the corner to greet Steven, you know, like 20 days in or whatever, that Steven probably thought he was hallucinating.
I think you're probably right. I mean, he was like 120 pounds when he left and missing teeth.
Yeah.
Teeth falling out. They were like Tic Tacs he was spitting out of his mouth. I mean, yeah, bad stuff, man. So, yeah, seeing EJ, he was probably, he thought he was losing it, probably.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, EJ was great for emotional support, providing, not so much.
EJ is fantastic, you know. I mean, he's a good dude. And he can survive with the best of them. He's kind of got a lot of my philosophy is like, how much can I take?
Yeah.
Can I suffer through this? I can take it. I can take it. I can starve. I can do this. You know. He got his ball sack ripped open.
Oh yeah. And stitched. Trees shouldn't be climbing.
Yeah. He's like, I can take it. You know. So I mean, I really admire him 100%.
Oh yeah.
For just being able to smile through the pain and going. Yeah, you got nothing. I'm all right.
And sure. Seeing those initials carved in that tree right before his exit, I'm like, man, if this really is his last one, this is pretty poetic and a pretty incredible way to go.
Yeah, I'm not counting EJ out either.
No.
He lives right down the road from us. He's in Fayette. Yeah. And I'm not counting him out, not one damn bit.
Yeah,
I believe him. But I don't believe him. It's in his blood.
It is. We have a thing. We have several charity events that a lot of the reality stars do each year. You know, one being Hearts Reality in December down in Orlando, raising money for Give Kids the World. And then there's another one in California. I want to say Temecula, California, Reality Rally. I'm banned from that one. I was. it's okay. Shockingly, I was running around in the Speedo, not naked, at a private event. And they're like, you did walk around in the Speedo. I'm like, did you see my penis?
Right.
Anyway, so, but EJ, I got lots of stories about this event, and EJ was there with Matt Bischoff, one of the hosts here at Reality After Show, and Tina Wesson, winner of Survivor Australia, and several reality stars. And so they're walking on this trail, like they're doing like an Amazing Race type deal. And so they're walking on this trail, and EJ is leading the group because, you know, everyone get behind me. I'm going to, they're going up this trail. And he goes, oh, there's some bees over there. Now, I know you might think they're okay. They're not. Let me explain to you why you're wrong and why we're going to go an extra half mile out of the way. And that's like, they're just bees. I think it's like, no, you would think that.
These are tracker jackers. You cannot come near them.
You have no idea. That's like, I think one of us has no idea. it was EJ being EJ, and I just love it. I love and embrace, you know, that's EJ.
100%. 100%. He is who he is, man. Yeah. He's a great dude. Yeah. You know, he does so many things, right? Yeah. I mean, he's into 1,000 things, and he gives to charity and shows up for events and stuff like that. You can't not love him.
Yeah, he's great. So we get to the season finale of Naked and Afraid, XL Frozen. And as luck would have it, Wes, we got a killer bear.
What happened? Oh, man.
Was your conversation something to the effect of, if you're trying to end this for this killer bear, I assure you, you're not. And I will kill the bear. Was that the
why? No, I don't want anything to do with a bear. I don't want to be within a mile of that sucker. But you know what?
If they tap you guys because of a killer bear within a half mile vicinity, you're okay with that?
Oh, no, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, okay.
No, I just don't want to see him up close. No, I'm not okay with that. I was finishing that challenge. I didn't care. No matter what happened, I was finishing.
Did you think for 1 second that was what they came to say?
No.
Just because of your luck?
We had heard helicopters, planes, and we were like, what is going on out here?
Yeah.
And so we figured they were coming to give us a skinny on what was it. You know, we thought maybe somebody was doing test runs for extraction vehicle or whatever the case. We had no idea. But yeah, I mean, a dude got killed like less than half a mile from where we were by a grizzly. It was a really terrible situation. The whole time when we got done and out and celebrating, the whole town was like mourning this guy because he was very popular within the town. It was a bad situation, and it was right there.
Yeah. You know? And how does he get within a half a mile of you guys when you're filming? It's just like, hey, we're doing a TV show where they're kind of in the middle of nowhere with no interaction with anyone. You got a guy a quarter mile, you know, playing Leonard Skinner on his boombox.
Like, you know, I mean, that's open country, right? People walk and they hike and all kinds of stuff. So somebody could theoretically just walk into your camp and go, hey, what's going on here? That could happen. But that's wherever you go these days. You
know? Y'all want some Cheetos?
Some local. Yeah.
We got Cheetos. Like, y'all want Cheetos?
Hell yeah. Give me every Cheeto you got, buddy. Yeah, I'll trade you this really cool hood that I have for you. Oh, man. Yeah, so yeah, that was a thing. But when they came and told us about it, I mean, we knew something was going on.
Yeah, but you weren't worried about being tapped again.
No, I really wasn't on that one. You know, if they had said I was tapped, I would have taken a camera and I would have walked in the woods. I was not waiting.
It's like you're gonna see me day 14, and you're gonna see day 14 me walking to the town with this camera. Going, yeah. Is this the to where it is on my map where I drew an X. It is.
That's exactly right. I was going nowhere after, especially after that COVID tap.
Yeah.
I was there to the end, no matter what. And I tell you what, I had frostbite on two of my toes. I mean, real frostbite, not cold feet. I had purple toes at the end. And they said that was a guaranteed tap. If you got frostbite, the medics would tap you out. So I took mud. I got that on day three. I took mud out of the creek, like clay and stuff, and I just covered my toes up so that the medics
wouldn't see it.
So nobody would see it, because I wasn't leaving that one. There was no chance of me ever leaving that challenge under any circumstances. Even if I had to go rogue, I wouldn't leave it.
Any damage after the fact to those toes?
I mean, not really. I had to cut the ends of them off and, you know, get all the, but it's fine. I still wear flip-flops. It's all right.
Okay. All right. I'm rocking Yeezy slides right now. We're the same person, Wes.
Heck yeah, man. Absolutely.
I drop the insides too when I'm excited.
We're going to have to talk about that off air so I know what not to do.
So, all right. Final question here, Wes. Survivor versus Naked and Afraid. What's tougher?
Man, you know, I'm a Survivor fan, but I've never done a contest to win Bud Light on Naked and Afraid. You know, I mean, you get nothing ever. I know there's dynamics involved with a Survivor, you know, pitting against each other and you.
Yeah. when you get there and you see me, that's not a good sign.
Right. That's great.
And I definitely wouldn't start by asking me for an autograph, I assure you.
You're right. I guess for finishing a challenge, you know, I'm taking Naked Afraid, right? Because that's up to you whether you finish a challenge or not. It's not up to anybody else, like in Survivor. But both excellent shows, man. I mean, we get to go out there and do things that no one gets to do.
We do. I think Naked and Afraid is technically harder because, you know, we do every awards and stuff. And you know, and like when we get there, there's, you know, all these bamboo poles perfectly cut near where we should build a shelter, shockingly.
Right,
and a bunch
right.
of cut palm fronds sitting there.
Yeah. Right.
But it's in the woods, you know, like by 1 foot, and then you drag it out.
Oh, yeah, just outside of camera view.
But I will say this. A lot of people, like, the Loved Ones Challenge on Survivor has been a mainstay and one of, you know, the biggest episodes every season. I use that to my advantage with, the whole dead grandma lie. But a lot of people don't understand, you know, like, say, you know, as Survivor's 26 days now, but, you know, let's go back to the old model, 39 days.
Right.
On day 30 or, you know, around day 30, your loved one would show up and you see all these people cry. Like, everyone, they all cry. And you have the viewer at home going, this makes no sense. Like, I can go a month without talking to anyone I know and not cry. Like, you know, what they don't get is when that person walks around the corner, that's the first person in 30 days that doesn't see $1 million written across your forehead. Because say me and you are out there and you're just like, Johnny, I'm not going to screw you over. I got your back. And I'm like, Wes, I'm not going to screw you over. I got your back. And we both mean it, okay?
Yeah.
There's no way to know that either one of us means it. So the entire time you're talking to me, I'm just like, he's just thinking $1 million. He doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean a word he's saying. And if that's not the biggest mind F, I don't know what is.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. I would not be to the level I am. You know, with Naked and Afraid on Survivor. I would never make that. My hat's off to you guys for that, because the subterfuge constantly is just, it's too much for me.
It's crippling. It's literally crippling. So, but you guys, you know, have, hypothermia, which is also literally crippling.
Yeah. I mean, it's all mind games, right? It's mind games and how much you can take at the end of the day.
I call it a tie.
I'll take a tie. Okay. I think that's a very fair assessment for sure. But both of them, great shows, you know. I love them. I watch them. it allows me to do what I do, you know, my side hustle of being a naked afraid survivalist. So yeah, I absolutely love it.
All right. So Wes, where can everyone find you and where can we see you next?
That is the big question that you know I cannot answer. Yeah. WesHarper.com. Okay. If you go to my website, WesHarper.com, I got links to Facebook, Instagram, you know, all the stuff. Okay. And so I'm real easy to find there. And you know what? I always say that if Discovery calls me and I look, I'm answering that phone call.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, I'm not sending it to voicemail.
Yeah, there's not a phone call I don't answer, Wes.
I don't think I'm done at this point. You know, I mean, I had a real good showing on Frozen, and I've got a loyal fan following. So I'd be surprised if I wasn't going back out there. But, you know, I'm not in charge of that. We know how that is. You wait on that phone call. If it happens, you go.
Well, I think a lot of people love you, and if you win over this guy that has a black hole where a heart should be in me, if you won me over, you're doing something right.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute, John. It's not for a minute. Nope.
I didn't call Trish. I'm pretty sure Jake has me blocked. I don't know. Was, I just don't know his area code or time zone. It's tricky. So, Wes, thank you so much. I love you. I can't wait to see what your next adventure is. For those of you listening and not watching, Wes looks pretty skinny. Just throwing that out there.
You threw it out there and we'll just let it sit. How about that?
So with that, we'll see you next time. Don't forget to become a patron, supporter sponsors, manscaped.com, promo code survivor. And we'll see you Thursday for the Challenge USA podcast. We'll see you at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, Brent Wolgamott, Bobby Goodsby, and Alex Rubino Thursday night after the eviction on Big Brother 24. Everything's available YouTube-wise at youtube.com/aftershow. And Wes, thank you again. You're awesome, and I can't wait to chat after this and tell you what game signs not to throw up going forward.
Thanks, Johnny. I really appreciate it, man. It's great talking to you.
And for more bonus content, go to realitypatron.com. That's right, become a patron now. Get additional coverage of all your favorite shows, the weekly Q&A, and you become a member of the secret, exclusive Facebook group. That's realitypatron.com.